All right, brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles. Going back to the wonderful, sweet book of Philippians, that sweet letter written by the Holy Spirit through Brother Paul. Thanks be to God. What a sweet, emptied vessel that God did something with. But brothers and sisters, we're in the fourth chapter. And last week, we finished there in that precious 13th verse. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what a good way to begin tonight. Amen? Do we know this, brothers and sisters? Do we believe? Praise the Lord. Do we really believe? Not that I might do, and not that I will do, but I can do. See, all things are possible with God to them that believe it. The word works effectually. And you look up that word and it's wonderful. It means dynamite power. Praise God. That's what the Holy Spirit is after, that wonderful dynamite power in our lives in them that believe. The words, brothers and sisters, will just stay on this page without believing. It will. It'll just stay on the page for your life without believing. But I'll tell you what, we believe by faith the words of God, the Word of God, and how it becomes alive and mighty and powerful in our lives. It makes us the brothers and sisters in Christ that we never thought, that we never even imagined that we could be. And I'm thankful to the Lord how He does this in this dynamite power of what wonder lies in us in Christ. Praise the Lord. I think we're starting to awaken to it. I think we're starting to truly, in some respects, at least I feel for my own life many times, Lord, I never saw it like this. Lord, it's bigger room. I can't believe I'm in this. Hallelujah. And Lord, how immense your love for me is. But brothers and sisters, we're now going to move tonight to this 14th verse. And as we begin this, many departed from Paul. Paul had a wonderful message. There were a lot that followed after this. There were many that came and were excited. But just as Jesus Christ and in His ministry, He did the miracles and they flocked to Him. But you know, those miracles stopped. And it was going to be about the Word of God. And once it became about the Word of God, there weren't many more that would follow. Matter of fact, it fell away till finally, and that was the way it was going to be. He was alone upon the cross. He was alone. Praise God. He had to go there by himself. Now, Brother Paul is such a wonderful type of the bride of Christ, that life, as it says, to mark that life, to follow him as he followed Christ. And praise the Lord, he entered into the joint sufferings with Jesus Christ. Not that he tried to push people away, but he stood for the truth. And as it was shown, it wasn't a popular way. It wasn't a popular thing. People wanted to go after a lot of different things. When we studied 1 and 2 Corinthians, there were a lot of people that loved the Lord there. They did. And they, praise God, they enjoyed the gifts of the Spirit. It was wonderful what grace met their lives. But when Paul wanted to preach to them to go on into the deeper things of God, to go on into the mystery of the gospel of Christ in the church, they refused that. They didn't want to go that way. They wanted the feelings and emotion. And I'm telling you, I love feeling and emotion by the Spirit. And I'm thankful to God that He can grow us up and take us on into things. And some of the mightiest times, brothers and sisters, is the still small voice. When we're out truly on the backside of a desert, just like Moses, it's not a popular place, but it's the place where God speaks to you and He woos your heart. And He must take us to. And praise the Lord how He did this in Paul's life. And this is what we're talking about here. And this is what the Holy Spirit is bringing out here. As a matter of fact, we're coming to a time when Paul says, all in Asia have forsaken me. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, the overwhelming majority of the Christians at this time were ashamed to even be linked or associated with Paul in any way. Sounding very familiar of those brave disciples when Jesus Christ went to the cross. Peter? Oh, weren't you with Jesus? I don't know that guy. I don't know him. Are you willing to go? See, it's not a prosper and be in health on this earth. Praise the Lord, but he was prospering like you can't believe by suffering together with Jesus Christ. Are we willing? Are we willing to go? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that this message is true and alive to us. But see, these Philippian saints were different. And I want you to listen. By God's grace, we'll read the 14th through the 16th verse here. Notwithstanding, as Paul says to them, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now I have to tell you, after what we studied on Sunday night, and where the Lord's had us on Sunday mornings, and then coming to this portion of Scripture where God has it, he is so beyond perfect. I stand in absolute awe of him. I am telling you, by God's grace, and if you know me, you know that, well, praise the Lord, I couldn't put something together like this anyways, but it's just how God has brought us so perfectly into all of this at this moment in what he's witnessing to us by his Spirit, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints is going forth. And this is so absolutely wonderful in this leading that he has us here, that these saints supported and abounded in giving to Paul. Not to Paul, but to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' doctrine. And even when Paul was in distant lands. See, even when these saints at Thessalonica, they wouldn't even give him their time. These Philippians, by God's grace, they weren't ashamed. And they weren't necessarily very well-to-do, brothers and sisters, but they gave all that they had in love. They did. And that's what counts, is giving all that we have in love. And as we were rejoicing on Sunday night, see, by God's grace, you give of yourself first. You just give yourself by God's grace to him. You put it all on the altar. You lay your life down by God's grace. You say, Lord, I realize I'm not mine. I'm yours. I'm bought with a price. I want to yield to you, Lord. How much you love me. Praise God, I just want to love you. I want to yield. I want you to will and to do of your good pleasure in my life. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Everything else in your life will follow. I'm so thankful to God. I've said it many times. I know people that try to rate things in their life. Well, it's God first and this next and this next. And it's just God first. That's it. Just God first. And I'm telling you, he'll put everything else in order. You don't need to plan it. You just show up. You say, Jesus, I'm thankful that you've called me. I'm thankful that you've chosen me. And I'm here by your grace. And by your grace, you're going to make my life right. You're going to order my steps. You're going to direct my paths. I'm asking for your mind because you said, let my mind be in you. Do I believe this? Yes, I do. It's called faith. Jesus said it, and it is so. And it will work effectually in you if you'll believe. And if you're having a hard time believing, get on your knees and say, Lord, give me the grace to have faith. And let me tell you something, he'll give it to you. He will give it to you. And the faith the size of a microscopic mustard seed. Mountain be removed. Praise the Lord. How wonderful to believe in Jesus. But brothers and sisters, notice here, this giving, and truly we're talking about giving unto the Lord's gospel, and yes, we're talking about monetary helping with the ministry. It wasn't here given to any local church. It wasn't given to any specific board. It wasn't given to any certain committee. It was given to the one that God had entrusted the souls of men to. Paul was their pastor. Paul was the one that had given them this precious truth and was the, again, under-shepherd that God had appointed unto them. And as they gave these tithes to Paul, he then sought the mind of Christ in how to distribute this and where God wanted it in the ministry. And see, Paul wasn't looking for their monies, and I'm thankful to God we're not looking for your monies. I've had a few people come in here and been in here a while, and I appreciate the same comment that Sweet Brother Hill would get as well, too. You never preach about, or I shouldn't say preach about, you never ask for monies. You never plead that we need monies for anything. As that precious pastor that told Brother Hill a long time ago, son, it's inevitable that you'll need money. And I'm going to tell you this for your own home. For your own homes, it's inevitable that you're going to need money. It is. All right? But he said, learn to ask your father and not the people. And I'm telling you what a joy that's been. It's been sweet to just ask my Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, the abundance of our Father is absolutely incredible. What He brings is so sweet. What He gives is such abundance. And He does it at the right time. He does it at the right moment. And He'll bring you to a point where you think, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? And bam. And He does it every single time. And you know it. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And He doesn't do that. He does not forsake His people. Praise the Lord, if we'd only realize how rich we are, we're children of the King. And praise be to God, He does take care of us, and He takes care of us right now. We just got to realize it. But brothers and sisters, it was sweet because it was given to Paul, and he distributed it for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And I praise the Lord for His word because it is so absolutely clear over and over in the Word of God how this giving and how we give and what we give and how it does have great testimony about our love of the truth. I want you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let's turn over to Galatians 6, 6. And a sweet brother brought this to, let's just say it this way. It was such a precious, sufficient witness this week as we were just rejoicing in the things of God. But in Galatians 6, 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Now think of this. Brothers and sisters, that word communicate means fellowship or distribute. And actually it's talking about giving of time, fellowship, and it's also talking about giving of your monies, your tithing as unto the Lord. Read that again. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And notice that word all. It didn't say some of the good things. It doesn't say in part of the good things. But this is what this is speaking of, is the whole counsel of God. Ones that preach and speak truth and love, the grace and glory doctrine. And I'll tell you, that brings you right back to Paul's gospel. When you have the chance, by God's grace, to give, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Amen. I mentioned it on Sunday night. I appreciate it because I know in my life there was a time, you know, Lord, is it, you hear so many different things. You read in the Word of God about the tenth. There's some people that say, oh, it's got to be more than that. It's less than this. We have now taxes. We have Social Security. You know, they didn't have that back then. Let me tell you something. I don't read all about that in here. Okay. Let's just get it straight. It's all His. See, once you get to that point, Lord, this everything that I have is yours, all right? Now, that doesn't mean I want you bringing all of it in here. You seek the Lord about it. But please understand this. It's His. He gave you everything. You are everything you are because of Him. Know this. And then it's such a precious thing. It's a privilege. And the Lord will lead you. He'll make you. He will. He'll make you generous. You can't help me. When you have the love of God in your heart, you'll be generous. You'll see to the need of the saints. You'll see that by the grace of God, this is what the Lord has for me. And this is why we're searching the scriptures. Lord, help us to rightfully divide these things so we're not confused, so we're not guessing. God isn't a God of, in a sense of, well, it's all hidden over here. He revealed it. He took that veil and He rent it in twain, and we can go right into the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. We can be led into all truth. We have the guide. We've got the Holy Spirit. I can be bold in faith and saying, Lord, Thou knowest. And let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Show me these things. I desire them because of your grace. You desire them for me, and you will show them unto me. Now, this word communicate, again, it means to fellowship and distribute. And brothers and sisters, our giving unto the Lord by his grace needs to support all truth. I cannot tell you how many times I had been in conversations growing up and hearing, again, Brother Hill, whether it was here in the church or my grandpa at his house, testifying to people. And I knew that sometimes they didn't like to hear these things. You give to the truth. And here Paul is telling you, you give to all truth. You give to this gospel by God's grace that he's given this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't scatter it here and there. We don't give because of my feeling or what might be good or what might my good intentions be. Brothers and sisters, we give as the Lord encourages us. And how we give and where we give is the testimony of the love of the truth in our lives. And it really is. It's a testimony. It's an evidence. It's not that we're guessing these things. And God help us to be persuaded in heart that, Lord, we're investing in your best. We're investing in the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful. Now, I'm not talking about just our monies, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about our lives. Because we must first, by God's grace, give of our own selves. Give over to this to realize this is our life. Praise the Lord, we're just passing through. Praise God. Man, like the brother was saying, he says, oh my goodness, yeah, I don't want that temporary work. And I said, I've always had temporary work here. And you do too. You don't realize how temporary it is. I'm just an alien here. I'm from another place. Praise be to God, my home's somewhere else. I just hadn't been there yet, but I am seated together with him in the heavens right now. And praise God, I'm going to have a body like unto his own, and boy, am I going to enjoy it. Hallelujah. These are the things that are real. This is the evidence of what God's faith is in our life, that we believe this wonderful word. Now, let's read on here in chapter 6 of Galatians. Let's read 7 through 9. It says, now, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So see, where you invest your life, you're going to reap that. You sow to sparse truth, you will reap that. You sow to God's best, it's going to be sweet to the mouth. It's going to be bitter to the stomach. But I'll tell you what, he'll produce something that will descend from heaven, having the glory of God. Amen. Now, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I'm going to ask us a sweet question here, brothers and sisters. Do we want to sow to the flesh, or do we want to sow to the Spirit? Well, I think that's an easy one, isn't it? To the Spirit, praise God. Well, it's evident, brothers and sisters, that what God is getting here is that it's going to be made evident in the details even of our giving. It tells it like it is. Don't grow weary in standing for the truth. Don't. Don't be persuaded otherwise. It's worth it. And let me tell you something, as it says right here, you're going to reap in due season. You know it. If we faint not. Hallelujah. It's all right there. And what a bountiful reaping it is going to be. See, there's not going to be leanness here. There's going to be a full maturity of the love for the fullness of God in our lives. We'll want this. See, brothers and sisters, when you go after this, you will be ridiculed. You will be persecuted. Just as Jesus Christ, and specifically concerning this, I was thinking of the different words I have heard throughout my life. Is by God's grace, I had the privilege to testify of this in my own life. Well, you're biased. You're partial. You're just single-minded. Oh, and I like this one. Well, how do you know that? Well, to all three of the first ones, I'll say, am I biased? Yes. Am I partial? Yes. Am I single-minded? You bet. And how do I know? The Bible tells me so. Brothers and sisters, do we want to go by our gut feeling? Do we want to go by, oh, I got a burn in my heart? Or do I want to go by the Word of God? There's been many a life that have been led in a lot of sad directions by, well, my gut told me this. Or I had a burning in my heart. So I said I would change foods. There's been some very destructive religions built that way too. Brothers and sisters, it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Spirit takes the things of Christ. The Spirit is there to only preach and profess and again to magnify Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus Christ? It's this Word. It's the Word of God. It's the most precious thing. You can't even describe it, but it's ours, and it's our treasure. It's our life. It's who we are. But brothers and sisters, this is the good fight of faith. And we need to know that this good fight of faith is happening 24/7 in our lives. And by His grace, again, we need to decide truly what is going to lead us. Is it going to be flesh or is it going to be spirit? And it is true. See, they're contrary to one another. I hope we understand this, is that one makes no sense to the other. One leads to death, if you'll go by that, and one leads to life everlasting. And see, neutral we cannot be. And there is an intensity to this. And the intensity is Jesus Christ is looking for a people for His name's sake. Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, the Father is searching for that goodly pearl. He's searching for the true worshiper who worships Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? She's a spotless church without wrinkle. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, we understand we're not talking about, for a Christian, sinless perfection was taken care of the moment that I said, Lord, I believe. He took my sin and He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Justified is just what it says, just as if I never sinned. I'm thankful to God in that. Now it's time to grow up. As sweet Galatians 4:1 tells me, I'm a child of the King. And not just a child of the King, I am Lord of all. You read that. See what that means in the Greek. I'm Lord of all. But if I don't grow up into what I've been born into, I'm just going to run around there like a servant. Have we heard many times, I'd be like the kid with the crown on his head playing in the pigmire. No. Walk around the kingdom. Enjoy who you are in Christ. Enjoy who your Father is. And praise the Lord, listen to Him. Listen to the Spirit. Grow up. Let the life that He gave us, brothers and sisters, grow up and be made manifest. Isn't that wonderful? All of creation is even growing in at this moment for the manifestation of the sons of God. Do you hear Him say, come forth? Be who you are in Christ. Rise up. Amen. Know it, brothers and sisters, what we are again in Christ. But God willing, brothers and sisters, God willing, we'll be here again soon in this scripture. Because I will tell you right now, the Lord's placed on my heart Galatians, if He tarry, for our next study. So He'll take us deeper into this, I'm confident. But getting back here to Philippians, and now let's go ahead and read that 17th verse again together. And it says there, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And see, I think that says it so perfectly about our giving to the Lord. And I will just say this with the respect of tithing. It's not for the account of the church. It's for your fruit. It's part of your worship. It's part of who, again, we are in Christ. It's this precious body that we have. And like Brother Paul was saying, it wasn't for me. By God's grace, it's for you. Isn't that wonderful to know? And it is what God's doing. But you see here, brothers and sisters, it wasn't the gift, it wasn't the giving. What he was looking at here was the abundance of the heart. What he was looking at here was the love of the truth that was in Paul. And then praise God what the Lord was going to do with that gift. You just never know. See, God is an infinite multiplier. See, we try to limit God and you can't. God multiplies stuff so much you can't even imagine, brothers and sisters. He increases at an increasing rate. And there's one thing that he is about in our lives, and that's abounding in good fruit. He wants that in our lives. He wants that produced in us. He is the husbandman, the Word of God says. And if we will allow him to prune us, chasten us, then he deals with us as sons. Isn't that wonderful? If we'll endure chastening, he deals with us as sons. But see, for the most part, as Christians, we do not want to suffer with him. And why do people not want to suffer with him? Because they don't know the Word of God. When you really know the Word of God, you realize that, as Brother Paul said, I rejoice, I glory in my infirmities. Because when I glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, then the power of Christ rests upon me. I understand he's got to take control of this. He's brought me to a place that, Lord, I don't know any way out of this. I am cornered. I have no options except you. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. How wonderful. And see, we don't think these things strange, brothers and sisters, because God's put a call on your life. Yes, he has. It's just what it is. You're sitting, listening to the Pauline gospel, the gospel of grace and glory. Isn't that awesome? You are privileged, not because I'm here, but because he's here. You're listening to grace and glory. Well, that grace, praise the Lord, will enable you to suffer together with him. That grace will enable you to not just be an heir of God, but to be that joint heir because you're suffering for Christ's sake and you will be glorified together with him. Endure the hardness as a good soldier. It's wonderful what he has in store. But she is like him and she is going to be tried. So that's why we don't think these things, we don't think them strange. Because God's got to bring us into this place where we are totally and utterly dependent upon him. I was, again, just thinking about, I mentioned it to Brother Clark with his daddy going to be with the Lord. It just hit me. The Lord's been hitting me, and I don't know exactly where he's going to take me in this, but about Jacob. And I said, there was a hard-headed brother with a bunch of hard-headed children. That's every one of us. Every one of us. Jacob was a wrestler. That's his name. He was dependent upon himself. Israel is dependent upon God. And that's the Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. And see, brothers and sisters, that's what he's doing, this transformation in our lives as we grow up into him, as we go on with him. We become dependent upon him. And it's sweet to be dependent upon him. It's precious to be dependent upon him. It's a wonderful place. As Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Huh? I believe we have some crazy people here. Praise the Lord. Crazy in love for the Lord. And he does bring this to us, brothers and sisters. It's not joyous for the moment. But praise the Lord, we know why. We know why, and this is what he's doing in us. Now, brothers and sisters, he is the husbandman. And as we allow him to deal with us as sons, I mentioned it early there in Galatians 4:1. Those little princes grow up to be the Lord of all. Hallelujah. And I pray that we go read about this in the Word of God, about who we are in Christ. But brothers and sisters, it truly is amazing and it is awesome what God sees for our lives. But brothers and sisters, it's not here in this world. It's all about over yonder. It's about in the eternities to come. This is just a moment of time, but it is the most vital moment of time for you and for me. What's done for Christ will last. That's the thing that's going to be. And what he does in us, praise the Lord, is going to be forever. And we're so thankful to know that. But that's why I was encouraging these young people getting started out in their married lives. Don't plant your stakes too deep down here. Don't plant them too deep down here. You'll miss God's best. And you really will. Don't let the things of this world have you. I'm so thankful for all of the things the Lord has allowed me to experience in this life. Really, I praise the Lord, living a dream. And I mean it. I'm so grateful to God. And there's been some very sorrowful times. There's been some incredible mountain peaks, let's put it that way. But thanks be to God, the joy of the Lord has held my life. The joy of the Lord. You know what the joy of the Lord is? It's his love for you. The joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. He willingly went, joyfully went. Knowing fully well that he would be made sin. Knowing fully well what was to come. But nothing could keep him off that cross. As we know in the Word of God, it says, all things are by him and for him. Everything holds and consists together because of him. Whether it was the nails, whether it was that wood, he had to hold it all together to even hold him on that cross. And then I love, as it says, he gave up the ghost. They could not kill him. They could not. He had to give up the ghost. He loves you. Man, does he love you. Thanks be to God how he loves us. Maybe we can believe the word of God because he loves us. You think? But again, brothers and sisters, this is the very heart of God himself that, praise the Lord, is in this vessel by the name of Paul. And again, brothers and sisters, we can attain to this as well too. Not that we're trying to be like Paul. We are following that truth and love and faith that the Spirit by grace placed in Paul. And just as we mark those that have gone in our lives, and as the Word of God says, to mark them that did follow this message and go that way and love that truth. Praise the Lord. I was just rejoicing here as you read at the end of 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Do you hear him speak that to you? To whom much is given, much is required. It's a wedding ring. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It ain't coming off. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. All right. But Paul's heart desired one thing, and that which pleases God, the fruit and the abounding of it. And as we think back over the entire study, as we've come this far, the joy fruit is what's magnified right here. And what is the joy fruit, brothers and sisters? It's the passion and the all-consuming and undeterred love of the truth. David said, I pant after him. I'm delirious. I love him. The worshiper, that word in the Greek, to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss him. I love that word. I love the word vessel. A wife adding to the usefulness of her husband. That's incredible. That's beyond. But that's just who the lover of your soul is. Let him just put all this together for us. Isn't it wonderful? As he was there in ages past talking to the Father, and the Father said to him, it's not good for man to live alone. Could you imagine how that just hit his heart and said, thank you, Father. I can't wait for her, Father. The plan, the provision, the power that's going to grow her up. And we're watching her in this day, in this age. She's coming forth. Thank you, Jesus. But see, brothers and sisters, these Philippian saints, they embraced this message as the dearest thing to their lives. They were not ashamed. And it wasn't of Paul that they weren't ashamed, but they weren't ashamed of the truth and love that Paul preached. They loved the doctrine. They were not ashamed of that doctrine of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that landed Paul right in the midst of that prison. They weren't ashamed of that. They were not frightened to support him. Even as we read, they became the more bold and their love flourished again, even to greater abounding. And Paul was thrilled. He was thankful to the Lord because they made known their support of him. And he was thrilled, too, that they would be persecuted for it. He already preached there earlier on that we read, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me." You want it? Hallelujah! That's the wonderful part about it. He will bring these things to pass in our lives. This will come forth. And they became even more bold in it. And praise God, they realized that this was the greatest reward to their lives to suffer together with him for Christ's sake. It was all coming together. It was all being made manifest in their lives that it had to be that way that they could enter into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and even suffer together with him right into the midst of the throne. That's awesome. That's just beautiful. And it wasn't just for this moment in time. This is for us and all of us in Christ. This is the way it's going to be. And this is why we can, as we suffer for Christ's sake, we can rejoice together. Praise God, he's given us a body that understands this. And the supplying of the saints and the grace and the encouragement, the cold cups of water, the honey that is brought through the body of Christ. It is wonderful. And you notice here, as we close this tonight, all the other churches not only turned from Paul, but also from them. Not even their continuing support of Paul by these Philippians convicted the other churches. The deserters would only see that Paul was a failure. I've heard ones preach, and I believe you probably have too, and my heart hurts for them, that somehow Paul was one of the greatest flops as a Christian. If Paul would have followed God at all, and I heard a man say this, he would have been out of that prison. I was thinking, did you ever read the Word of God? I'm serious. Did you read it? Do you understand the meaning? And not that I'm anything, but I'm thankful to God that, my goodness, it's so evident that this is the crowning joy to suffer together with him. But brothers and sisters, you could hear these ones, "Well, he must have done something wrong. There's no way that God's best could be in that. He brought that on himself." And all I could say truly to the Lord as he was bringing this to my heart was, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I've lived this. And praise God, we're living this. We've seen the evidence of this, brothers and sisters. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." See, he never changes. It's going to be this way. You're never going to get around it if you're going to go that way. It's got to be the dark mile. And people look at me, "How can you say that with a smile on your face?" Because it gives glory to him. It's awesome, the joy unspeakable and full of glory to know that truly God's will, and not just his will, but his perfect, complete, and all the will of God would be offered and given unto you. You talk about a God of completeness, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Brother, you better not talk that way. Why not? That's what he wants for you. That's what's so beautiful about it. Why not go out and say, instead of "why me?" Well, why not me? Lord, you called me, you chose me. I want to apprehend you. I know that I haven't apprehended yet, as Brother Paul says, but I'm trusting, Lord, in your faithfulness, that the good work which you have begun, you will perform it You will finish that. You will perfect that. I expect, Lord Jesus, your grace will cause me to finish with a full joy. I expect to be nowhere else because of the grace of God and that precious, wonderful, wonderful Spirit that continues to encourage us, brothers and sisters, to be nowhere else but in the midst of that throne. First, and then round about the throne. And then over there and there and everywhere, praise be to God! We're going to be like Him. It's so beautiful. Yes, it's wonderful to be a fool for Christ's sake. But I'll tell you what, and I remember even when I was a kid, a lady was kind of mocking my mom. Nancy, you just live a fairy tale. And all she did was looked at me and smiled. It's like one, but it sure ain't one. And I'm sure thankful I don't live the nightmare you do. Huh? She didn't say that, don't worry. But her ornery son was ready to tell him. But brothers and sisters, the bride has but one mold. She's like him in every way. And in order to be like him in every way, she is going to be fully tested. She's going to be tried, yes. And her love for the truth is going to be proved. He's going to prove that in us. We don't need to go out and prove it. He's going to prove it. Because see, he's the faithful one. I'm so thankful as he sat me down one day and he said, son, I'm going to prove in you that you love me. I'm going to prove in you that my life in you is faithful. Not you, but my life in you. See how beautiful that is? Do you see the difference? Every hair on my head just, and my body's standing up. I'm just so grateful to God that simplicity to get it. To thank you, Jesus, that it doesn't, it's not me, it's Christ in me. It's the beautiful, praise God, the seed that will never be taken away. I can never be separated from the love of God. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. He adores us, brothers and sisters. He dotes on you. And all the enemy wants to do is get you to feel guilty at the time that you spent away. No, you're a son. And he's concerned about now. And now are we the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And he can bring that to you. And that Spirit just rushes that love into you. And it just, it does, it's supernatural. It just lifts you right out of everything. You realize that's not me that was doing that. It wasn't. It's not the excuse, but it wasn't me. It's not who I am in Christ. That one that was slothful and mean and all, I understand that one died. He's dead. And those are just lies. That's just the enemy. Why? The Bible told me so. I believe the word of God. I don't believe what all those ones might come up against me. Oh, you're wicked. You're evil. No. Behold the Lamb. Praise the Lord. All right. Brothers and sisters, she too will have her own time where she says, TLEO, it is finished. It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be the same as Brother Paul said. I have finished my course. Praise God. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have my crown of grace. Amen? Amen. I have apprehended you, my bridegroom. You are my glory, Lamb of God. Is he your glory? Oh, yes, he is. And then, for all eternities to come, he will make known to all that he has loved you. Praise the Lord, how awesome. You know, it's just too difficult to get to the end of Philippians. And I believe Philippians just doesn't really have an end, does it? It doesn't. And I'm thankful that you love it too. I'm thankful that we can just delight in this message. I wish I could express my gratitude to the Lord. And I mean truly for the love of Christ he's put in you. I'm thankful for the privilege and the honor to come and to be in the presence of like precious faith. We are so blessed, brothers and sisters. We really are. It's just, it's incredible. And not to, again, pump up you, a place. It's just rejoicing in what is. And how beautiful the love of God. And saints that truly just, again, by his faithfulness, want to receive that truth and love and grow up into him in all things. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.